I actually do want to read that verse in Philippians. I'll just read it. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and this is a part, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a future. There are things we can't do anything about in the past. They're gone. But as a Christian, we have a wonderful hope in the future of the coming of the Lord Jesus and all that lays ahead for us. If we can grasp that in our hearts, that will motivate us as we go forward. I just wanted to make that.
Very good. Yeah.
I have a question back in Luke 24, from verse 28. I'm just wondering if there's any application or something that we can learn from how Jesus reacts to the situation. So he's still walking along the path, and he just finishes speaking some truths. And verse 28 starts from, "And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go farther. And they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is declining.' And he entered in to stay with them." Is there something that we can learn from this portion?
Before you put it away, do you have any thoughts? Have you heard any thoughts about that?
I think my first thoughts were aligned with providing some sort of space with someone who is hurting. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes if we know someone's close with us, we kind of feel pressured in some sense to provide immediate comfort to them, and it could be the wrong timing or too much too soon, even overbearing perhaps. So I think the way verse 28 is worded, he made as though he would go farther. He was still willing to help, but he wanted them to come to him and express that they wanted to have additional help.
Any other thoughts to add on to that? That's really helpful.
I think that there is a... I would agree with 100% with what you said. And I think one of the things the Lord was trying to do is to draw out their heart to him and to see if what he has said already has done any work in them. And I think that in counseling people, if we're not careful in counseling one another, we can be sucked dry ourselves, right? And not that the Lord, this has nothing to do with the Lord, but I think one of the things that we see what the Lord did is he put a boundary on this. He went so far with them and then stopped and to see if there was anything, if what he had already said had made an impact. And it did. They compelled him, constrained him to come. But if there's not an impact, then maybe we need to leave that person to mull it over a little bit deeper, a little bit more. Right? Because in counseling people, you can be with somebody for hours, and then you leave like this, right? So sometimes you have to put parameters on the end. And I see this to be a parameter that the Lord put on to determine if there was a work that was being done in them. Now that he could see, they compelled him to stay. He could see and he could respond, and he continued on. And so it's just an additional thought to what you said.
I think on the second day we talked about the three sources of things that bring sorrow and depression and despair. We addressed one of them, and I wanted to just probe it a little deeper. This is the one where the cause is guilt. And one of the things that we have to be very determined about is recognizing when that case is as a result of a sin. And we're told to exhort one another lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The it takes a real friend to call out, to call you out when you're in the wrong. And so one of the ways that we can help one another is if someone's in the wrong, to gently let them know they're in the wrong because of the Word of God. Now, guilt is a very interesting thing. There is objective guilt, guilt meaning because it's clearly in violation with the Word of God. And then there's a subjective, my response to guilt. So I feel guilty because I am guilty. But Steve reminded us is that if I've confessed and I've forsaken that failure, then the scripture tells us that you're forgiven. God has justified us. We understand that part of God's work in salvation is justification, and so guilt is removed. Confession and forsaking of that particular sin, we move on. But I can still retain the feelings of guilt. And that's where Steve was reminding us, is that then we need to encourage and remind our friend of what the work of Christ really has done. It has relieved us from that guilt, and if we've confessed and forsaken, we can go on and you don't need to be subject to the subjective side of guilt. The second thing that we talked about the other day was that sometimes the hurt comes from the environment. It's something that comes in and presses on us. And there, the answer is, as we've been sharing, is just coming alongside and sitting with them. And where you can, something as simple as, providing a meal, something as simple as, helping them with the things that they just feel incapable of doing because they're so overwrought with emotion. It's because of the external things. There's no sin involved. There's nothing involved. It's just coming alongside and being a friend in need. Why say to someone in need, be warm and be filled? That's not the love of God. That's not the way we demonstrate that love. We don't say, well, yeah, you had a calamity, the tree came down and knocked down your window, well, it'll be okay. Just put a tarp on it. No, you go over and you get dirty. And you help cut that tree down, and you help, board that house up, and whatever all the things that you are capable of doing to helping. And then we talked about the third source, that sometimes there's this reason that no one understands, that there's this activity of the enemy of our souls, and that could be brought on by depression, and all we can do in those cases is point that friend to the Lord. One warning that I want to make a very passionate plea about. Confidentiality.
Amen.
When you come alongside to help someone, it's not so that you can go tell, so-and-so is going through this. And I prayed with them. Sounds real pious, right? No. Confidentiality. You take it between you and the Lord, you and that person, and no one else. One of the greatest damages that are done in the attempt to help one another is you talk to someone, you pour out your soul to them, you are seeking help, and it becomes all around the corner, and it comes back to you. And someone comes up to you and says, so, I heard you going through. You know what that does? It says, I'm never going to reach out for nobody. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm not going to do what God has given us in His resources of His Word and in one another to help one another. So confidentiality, let's pay attention and be careful.